Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 15. As we hear from Paul, words to a church that were in discord of how they can have hope for the future in harmony together. Chapter 15, beginning with verse 4, we hear, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This four-week season of Advent, we are waiting and watching and preparing, getting ready. And as we do it, each week, we recognize and receive a gift in this season from God. So last week we talked about the first gift, the gift of peace. And then the gift that we can give the world as we receive God's peace is the gift that we have to share. A gift of our inner peace becomes a gift that we can continue to share. So this week, we have the gift of hope. And as we receive the gift of God's hope, we're also going to have another gift to share with the world this week, and that is the gift of encouragement. So we'll talk about how that encouragement comes out of receiving hope. But before we dive right into talking about hope and living into that hope, I want to recognize that not all of us feel hopeful right now. Not all of us have a lot of hope in this particular season. Some of us are in places where we feel downtrodden, where we feel a little helpless, where we feel in distress, where we are hurt, and where it's hard to have hope. Maybe even in such a place that receiving a box full of hope just still wouldn't quite be enough. And that's okay. We can live in those moments, in that darkness, in our doubts, in our fears, but we can't stay there forever. But it's okay if you're there right now. There are many who are in
that place with you.
I wonder how many of you have seen the recently released movie Frozen 2. A few of you.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay to admit that you saw it, even if you liked it. It's okay. There is a spot, and if you haven't seen it and you want to, I'm not going to spoil anything. It's okay. But there's a spot about three quarters of the way through where Anna, not Elsa, the one that we may know better, but the other sister, Anna, finds herself in a place where she's feeling pretty hopeless, where things are pretty dark in her life. And she begins to sing a song. It's called The Next Right Step. And the song itself begins in a fairly dark place that's void of hope as Anna expresses what she's feeling in these moments in her life. And it starts out this way. Anna sings, "I've seen dark before, but not like this. This is cold, this is empty, this is numb. The life I knew is over. The lights are out. Hello, darkness. I'm ready to succumb. I follow you around, I always have, but you've gone to a place I cannot find. Grief has a gravity. It pulls me down. But a tiny voice whispers in my mind, you are lost, hope is gone, but you must go on and do the next right thing." And it's after that that the song begins to turn around and things happen for Anna where she is able to find some glimpses of hope. But maybe we are sitting in a place where we echo Anna and say, how do we go on when hope seems gone? How do we go on when nothing will be the same again? Paul addresses that in the scripture lesson from Romans today. He talks with the early Christians saying there is reason to hope even when things seem pretty bleak. He reminds them of who they are, of the patriarchs that have come before. He reminds them and tells them that throughout Scripture, particularly the Old Testament, there are stories of people whose life have been upended, whose expectations have been dashed, whose best plans have been laid to waste, who've come up short. And yet, through it all, a steadfast, loving God continues to see the people of Israel through, who helps them figure out what is next and to take a step in that direction, step after step, until they can begin to rejoice in the hope that they have found. Now, Paul cautions the people of Rome that it's not an immediate process. And he's right. It's not something that takes shape quickly or overnight. For example, the people Isaiah, the prophet we heard from first, was speaking to were people who knew war and oppression and occupation as the staples of their lives. They were stuck under a rule that quashed their hope. And yet, through Isaiah, God promises a coming Savior who will set the people free. Isaiah speaks of a prince of peace to a people in conflict. It seems hopeless for the people in Isaiah's day that they would ever be able to overthrow the occupying power. But step after next step, the people of Israel find their way to freedom. The same can be true for us in our own ways. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he reminds the people that they've been given God's word in Scripture, all of these stories that have been collected as their history, to give them encouragement, to give them hope as they can see a steadfast track record for God. Paul prays for these people who are at odds with one another, that they will be able to live in harmony. And he doesn't think that that's too much of a stretch because of the hope he has in Christ Jesus. I have a colleague named Susan, and she has experienced this hope in an unusual way in the last while. She regularly preaches a worship service at a nursing home where they gather together residents who are interested to sing and pray and have a short message. Now, most of the people that gathered on this particular day were in the grip of some stage of dementia, but not all of them. And as Susan went along, it was common that there would be a few interruptions or outbursts or non sequiturs or other things that got stuck in to the service as all the people joined in. And she would take those as they came and do as best she could to incorporate and carry on. And one particular day, mid-sermon, a resident suddenly and angrily interrupted her, saying, "I have so many questions." And without missing a beat, Susan did her best to do what she usually does, to reply and engage. She says, "I have a lot of questions too. What are your questions?" And the woman says, "What about the Jews?" Susan asked her to maybe say a little bit more about that. She didn't quite know where the question was coming from. So the woman went on to explain that her question had importance in her life right now. She reminded Susan that God had made a lot of promises to the Jews, and she wanted to know what had happened with respect to all those promises. The woman shared that it was personal for her. She was dying of cancer, and she needed to know if God could be trusted in the face of a terrible present and an uncertain future. This woman was asking for hope, not some sort of sentimental greeting card line or rushed optimism type of hope, but a strong confidence that God is sovereign and good, especially in the midst of tragedy. Paul responds to this woman with Romans chapter 15, that yes, God is good. God's promises are good. They come to fruition. God is steadfast and can fill us with hope that brings peace and joy to our lives. Earlier in the book of Romans, in chapter 4, Paul points out that Abraham had to hope against hope that God's promises would ring true. Abraham was advanced in age, and so was his wife Sarah, and yet they had been promised a child, one who would carry on and become great, and a great number of offspring would come from him. God made good on that promise. Abraham and Sarah had a son, an heir, one who gets called Israel at times. There is cause for hope. Preacher and theologian Anna Carter Florence says that Paul does something in this teaching in Romans that's important, that needs to catch our attention. She says Paul writes to the Romans that they should have hope and find encouragement in the scriptures for that hope. The scriptures are there to help them, not to hurt them, to build them up, not to break them down. God's intention is for these words to become encouragement. Not the sort of encouragement that's that like limp dead fish handshake, but the sort of encouragement that fills us from the inside out with courage. When we encourage someone, they feel brave. They feel strong. They feel ready to take whatever comes their way. They don't feel helpless or despairing. They have courage that invites them to take the next step forward. The next step that will lead them to freedom in Christ. That's that same sort of freedom that the people Isaiah is speaking to are looking for. They're looking for hope. It's hard to take away someone's courage. When you instill courage in someone, it takes a lot to break that down. It's different than instilling fear in someone. You know, fear is quicker, it's cheaper, and it's fairly effective, but the long-term results aren't the same as encouragement and courage. When we encourage, it takes time. It takes patience, it takes repetition, and it takes a bucket full of love. It takes God's words uttered over and over again until they're inscribed on our hearts. We hear that the root of Jesse will come. Emmanuel, God with us, has come. And will come again. Encouragement is an act of faith, because to instill courage is to give faith. And that is a gift that we can share with the world in this season as we receive the gift of hope from God.